Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Brown.
I tell you, he is.
I do, too.
I think he is.
Played for the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly. It feels like he is a Hall of Famer, though, because he gets a lot of – yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's – you know, he's not a household name.
Yep, he is.
But he's a Hall of Famer. So that's a hell of a start, right? Those are the most recognizable.
It's going to be tough for Tennessee and Arkansas.
You know, and I'm sure there's some active guys now, but we're talking all time here, right? We're talking all time. All right, so let's go to Tennessee here.
I'm mildly excited. Are we going to get our head bashed in here? We'll be better than Arkansas.
Brad, you're going to be very excited about this. Reggie White!
Hey!
Reggie! Now, where is he from?
Chattanooga.
He is?
Yeah. Born in Chattanooga, baby.
Now, but where did he reside-ish when his football, like, when he was discovered in high school? Was that Chattanooga?
He went to Tennessee. Howard in Chattanooga, to Howard High School.
Okay, all right, I got you.
We're taking him, baby. Right, then he played at UT.
And then he played for the Memphis Showboats.
How much more Tennessee you want him to be?
Yeah, he's Tennessee, you're right. I want to get an education here.
Through and through. So Reggie White is
number
definitely
four pick.
Reggie White is great. That is a freaking
one
great
of the best
start.
To play the position.
No, there's no question.
We're off to a great start here.
Strong start. Right. You're right there with Mississippi now.
So far.
And then I would say number two on this list.
Let's see.
Is Claude Humphrey. Who is a Hall of Famer, rest his soul.
He's a Hall of Famer, Brad.
Is this real? Are you joking with me right now?
He went to Leicester. No, we're not joking.
He's from a Hall Memphis. Of Famer.
He's like in the Atlanta Falcons ring of honor as well. Retired there and retired in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yep, five-time first-team All-Pro. I mean, he's absolutely number two on this list.
Claude Humphrey,
put some respect on Claude Humphrey's name.
You better put some respect. On Claude Humphrey, Brad.
I am sorry. All due respect to the recently departed Claude Humphrey.
He's a Hall of Famer.
But
Hall of Famer.
He was the defensive rookie of the year.
Wonderful.
I'll have you know.
Well, I'm glad he won that.
He's a pro football Hall of Famer.
A six-time pro bowler. And if they had counted sacks back in Claude's days, he'd have been high on this list. Claude is a Hall of Famer. You can't knock that.
Next.
Let's see. Jason Witten. Jason Witten was born in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
And you're freaking stretching for our state.
He was a terrible.
Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer.
I'm just saying he was a terrible NFL analyst.
Yes.
That hurts us probably on that one. But
yes. Bro, Waller's a better tight end, and he's playing.
The fact that you went to him third.
Stop. What are we talking about? This guy's an 11-time Pro Bowler. Am I in an alternate universe?
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know what? He's one of the best to play his position.
Yes.
It goes back to that.
Yes.
I guess I'm comparing it to good old Mississippi, who is kicking your ass so far.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, look, gave you three Hall of Famers.
It's tough because we're defensive linemen.
Yeah,
right? The first two of those
measure.
Were defensive linemen. Right.
Non-sexy positions.
Mississippi had the skill spots.
Yeah, tight ends, not sexy. I agree with that.
But Jason Witten is now our first member.
Look,
one of the best to play the tight end position.
Yeah, I gave you three.
Is he top five, though, all time?
No.
Jason Witten, top five tight end?
No.
I mean, with Gates and Gonzalez and Ditka?
He's
you
top
know
five.
What he did?
Jason Witten's top five.
Ditka, yeah.
Jason Witten is top five, bro. Yes, got to be.
Have you ever heard of Travis Kelce?
Yeah, I've got a list here, and he's not on it either.
I'll say, I don't think Jason Witten is top five, bro.
Ditka,
tight ends
Ozzie
all time.
Newsome, John
Ozzie
Mackey.
Ozzie Newsome was a beast.
Travis Kelce.
I said him.
Okay, they got Jason Witten at six, yeah.
But
yeah,
he ain't
there.
Top five, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's right there. Shannon Sharp is listed as one of the top five.
Ooh.
Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow, Rob Gronkowski.
Jason Witten has more yardage than Antonio Gates.
This list has
he's
Tony
second
Gonzalez.
All-time receiving.
But you know who was better, though.
Look, man, I'm not going to sit here
I'll give you an argument that Jason Witten's top five, but it's close, though,
Antonio
bro.
Antonio Gates had more touchdowns. I'll give you that, yes.
Beast.
But in terms of who's moving the chains,
Witten's good.
Who's
Witten's
moving
good.
The chains,
we're giving
man.
You that it's borderline top five.
Well, here's the thing.
I gave you three Hall of Famers for Mississippi, and I gave you three Hall of Famers for
Tennessee. His tight end is higher than Favre, though. If you look at some of the rankings, this tight end is higher than your quarterback in terms of rankings.
Oh, interesting, the way he's putting that. That could end up being a bit
so far, if you look at it with a real critical eye, it's
Mississippi's winning, but we're closer than we thought, aren't we?
You're closer than we thought.
All right.
That's three good ones, John. What about Tutal?
Tutal's in there, yes. Tutal's in there. But here's the thing with Tutal, right?
What's wrong with it? I thought Tutal would be on any list.
Tutal is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Like, he can't be the fourth. He can't be third or fourth, right? He's in that.
When you're comparing Hall of Famer.
At a Jackson, Tennessee, good pick there.
Here's one. Yeah.
Super Bowl champ.
And this is going to be controversial.
He was only a three-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was born here. Wasn't raised here, but he was born here. So do we claim him? Lynn Swann.
What?
Lynn Swann was born in Alcoa, Tennessee. He moved to California when he was two, but he is a pro football Hall of Famer, four-time champ.
I'd like to claim him because he'd be the best receiver to come out of Tennessee.
No.
But I don't know that we can.
It's a stretch, John.
Pro Football Reference doesn't even have him as player born in Tennessee just because he left so early.
All right, Patrick Willis then, linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers.
Stud.
Yes, he was a five-time first-team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler. Feels like a Hall of Famer to me. Right.
I don't know.
No?
Because of the career, how short the career was?
It was short,
I like that he went out on when he did.
No, that's probably you're
again,
probably
he
right.
could walk away on his own terms.
You're probably right.
But I think longevity would probably keep it.
But the guy played seven years, and he was first team All-Pro, five of the seven.
Dude, he was a beast. He was the best in the league while he was in it, for the most part, his entire career.
At that position, like, there's no question about it.
I'm glad you threw him in there.
Okay.
I want to hear how bad Arkansas is. Arkansas can't compare to us on this.
Oh, I don't know.
Can they?
Are we counting Memphis as the Memphis Metro, or are we counting that as part of Arkansas?
That's Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. The rest of Tennessee is like, position players, right? I mean, there's some.
Tell them who our quarterback is.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's not on this list
this
yet.
This is Tennessee?
He's not on this list yet.
Our best quarterback.
But it's Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was born in Knoxville.
Where did he go to high school?
Take him or Chad Pennington.
Well, I don't want Chad Pennington.
No, hell no. Hell to the nah.
Trevor Lawrence he was definitely not at a Knoxville high school, was he?
No.
I don't think so.
We would know that.
But apparently long enough.
He went to Cartersville, Georgia.
Right, longer than Swann that he is considered a Tennessee-born NFL football player. I think you got to give Trevor the nod over Chad Pennington.
Oh, no question.
Just where we think he's going. He's been a number one pick.
Trajectory.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's, again, no Favre.
We're really stretching
We're unproven at quarterback.
But he moved for high school, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, does that take him out of the conversation? He moved to Georgia for high school.
I don't want Chad Pennington.
He's born in
Knoxville.
Right.
He didn't want to go to UT. You can't blame him.
No.
So he got the hell out of the state.
Oh, that's right. You have to leave.
He's like John.
Yeah, you have to leave the state of the city of Knoxville if you're going to go to Clemson, right?
Can't blame him for that.
You don't want to put your family
anyway,
at risk.
Our list is good.
This is really fun. I'm enjoying this.
But we're better than we thought.
Yeah.
Some great ones thanks to John's research.
Okay.
The problem becomes,
skill positions.
Brad's sort of reflecting this. Even though I'm giving you Hall of Fame guys tit for tat, they're not sexy positions.
Right.
They're not household names.
I was looking at it tit for tat in terms of Jason Witten is a higher selection for his position than Brett Favre, for example. I'm willing to go that far.
But we match Hall of Fame, but the problem is Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, Brett Favre, they're just names.
Sweetness is a number one spiker.
The name recognition to go with the greatness.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a big time
pick.
They
transcend.
Yeah.
You know, those are transcendent players
within
the Hall of Fame.
I think what's been underlined here so far is that Mississippi is as good as we thought, but Tennessee's better.
Yeah, we got some. Now, Memphis, not really.
Can we claim it over Arkansas, though? That's the key.
Mm. Arkansas is a hot mess. I don't know what's happening.
Really bad?
That's good news.
I don't know
what's
happening in Arkansas. All right, so let's talk about Arkansas.
Brad got his D'Angelo in there.
You got to get him in West Memphis.
Well, you can't start with him. You have to start with him.
He's no Hall of Famer. We're starting with Hall of Famers.
I'm with you.
Cortez Kennedy. In terms of modern era player, right? Cortez Kennedy is probably the most successful. No longer with us, obviously, but he went from Osceola / Wilson to the U, which is very impressive. And he also is a Hall of Famer.
Osceola, Arkansas. Well done, John.
Yeah, so he's
Cortez a beast.
He's got a road named after him there in Wilson.
Yeah. When he was in the league, again, best lineman in the league, you'd say, arguably.
Another name, Priest Holmes. Priest Holmes was born in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay.
And, he was a three-time All-Pro. Not going to be a Hall of Famer.
He will not be Hall of Fame. We dropped off there now. Priest is good. Not Hall of Fame.
No.
Yeah. What,
they got any more Hall of Famers in there? We're already running out of them.
It's really
They're
thin.
Hurting.
I mean, you might have one like, you know, like Don Hutson, who played, you know, in the you know, 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm. It's not looking good here.
Ryan Mallett.
Willie Rofe.
No.
Willie Rofe is there one.
Oh, big Rofe.
Willie Rofe?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Willie Rofe.
Sure
right.
is.
Yep.
Saints?
Offensive line. Yep.
That's Long him. Time. That's I just remember you couldn't get around him.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, Darren McFadden, you know.
He had such promise.
He sure did. He sure did.
You would say D'Angelo had better career, NFL career, than Darren McFadden, right?
Not even close.
Right. Yep.
Darren McFadden couldn't stay healthy.
Could not stay on the field because that turf toe every year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, D'Angelo even had some, like, randomly resurgent years with the Steelers there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it preserved him almost playing in those backfields.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of Arkansas, you know, it's a lot of, like, old-time guys.
Really thin.
It's pretty thin for Arkansas.
Yeah. Bad for y'all.
And that it's a small state, right? But yes, I would rank it.
Ooh,
I would say Lawrence Phillips.
Ooh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I would say.
And the running back. Yeah, that's and they're going to Nebraska.
Time.
Yeah.
Mississippi goes
born in
one.
Little Rock.
Mississippi's winning. I mean,
I would not say it's a route, though.
Yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's closer than
one, but closer than I thought. Yes.
Then Tennessee, and then a long, large gap.
Big gap.
Then Arkansas.
This research has been revealing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned? What have you like? What's your big takeaway?
Yeah.
Again, we thought Mississippi was the best going in, especially of the three.
Yeah.
My big takeaway is Tennessee's produced some damn good football players.
Yes.
That's my
yes.
big takeaway.
Yes, we have.
You could probably put them up on a list against just about anybody aside from Mississippi.
Well, it's what's interesting to me.
I mean, Walter Payton, mm-hmm. Jerry Rice, Brett Favre is going to be hard for any state.
What's crazy, and I'd have to look at it.
Again, you're going to start going Cali and all these big states. Mm-hmm. Sure, you'll find
them. Are the most successful NFL players from Tennessee more successful than the most successful players in basketball from the state of Tennessee?
Gosh, you're asking the deep ones.
That's a great question you've asked,
basketball born
John.
In Tennessee, though? We might get some that were...
Yeah, I mean, there are some random ones, right? I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just asking. Like, and certainly from Memphis, like, you know, you have Penny, and that's kind of what you hold up, right? And Bingo Smith, and you just think, like, historically.
Well,
but,
we're talking about teams that have retired
James
guys,
Wiseman.
But not Hall of Fames.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
right? For the guys you
right.
just named.
Right.
Bingo and Penny.
Yeah. Is Allen Houston in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. So.
Unless I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to think like who's like notable, you know? So I don't know. I just asked the question. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something to
but
think
about. But it's really just Memphis.
Well,
right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
When we talk about Tennessee and basketball, it's what we've produced, is it not? I mean, sure, you've had a few. I mean, David Vaughn was Nashville, but. Right, it's mostly just kind of on us with the basketball. Tennessee's football is clearly.
You know, it's
in terms
wild.
Of what you've produced.
St. Louis is producing more than Memphis, it feels like.
Oh, St. Louis.
Allen
has...
was actually born in Louisville. I did not know that about him. You mentioned Allen Houston. Just played at Tennessee, but
God,
born
yes,
in,
he wasn't born in Tennessee.
Born in Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah.
Played high school basketball there, too.
It's an interesting question. Anyway,
research project.
We've determined that it is, unfortunately, Mississippi, although it's close. It's in, oh, maybe Trevor Lawrence gets us over the.
I give him a tip of the cap. It's pretty darn good. Arkansas.
yeah, that's a
look at you.
It's a mess. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Collins is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Imani Bates situation, get his thoughts on that and more. Jason and John, how are you trying to FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Louisville Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. Hey, if you want to list your home, you might be worried. Man, you're hearing all the news. You read on the news about the market and race and everything like that. Look, market's going to market. That's what it's going to do. You want a good team, though, to help you navigate whatever the circumstances might be. And trust me when I tell you that the Live Love Memphis team, they have seen the market in every way, high, low, anywhere in between. They can help you navigate this market, still help you get the most money for your home. Reach out, sold at livelovememphis.com.
Yeah, be careful what other groups are guaranteeing you, because those guarantees can often be lined with stipulations or contracted length of listing and a discounted price. Jen and the Live Love Memphis group at the Real Estate Agency, they don't offer that type of guarantee because they think that hard work should be their guarantee and you'll be happy with the results. And I think jumping up and down is certainly the case for myself and my wife 3.5 years ago and for everybody else we've sent over there. In this market, there's a good chance she can get you a lot more than you think you can get. Could be thousands more. Don't sell yourself short. You got to give her a call to find out, 901-625-5200, or you can email them at sold@livelovememphis.com. It's the Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Leg out.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, here's your Imani update for the day. I know everybody's been waiting around with bated breath. What is he going to do? Is Imani Bates coming to Memphis? Is he not? Yesterday, Penny Hardaway was on with Doc Holliday, and he said he has not talked to anybody in Imani's camp about a return to Memphis. We talked about that at the time, saying, kind of, you know, one of those things, leave it up to interpretation. Could it have been something that was communicated via intermediaries? Could there have been a way around that? Could you have passed that message along to somebody that you don't consider in Imani's camp but actually is? You know, whatever. Stephen Johnson has a piece up at Daily Memphian where he says that he has talked to Elgin Bates, the father of Imani Bates. And Elgin confirmed to Stephen that he had indeed been on campus. And it wasn't his first time either. Citing family in the area, Elgin said he's dropped in before while visiting them. Now,
I mean, dropping in is separate from saying you're talking to Penny from the future.
Well, I understand that, but
just
I mean,
from the way he's phrasing it.
If you're in the transfer portal, you get to just drop on in, bro. You get to just come on by the program doors open.
It's a weird deal because you already, like you said, you're in the transfer portal.
I mean,
that thing would say access denied.
Right. I'm saying,
if I was. You would hit the transfer portal off my team, it would say access denied on the fingerprint.
Did Frank Harris
scan.
Just get to come by the old Lori Walton while Tyler was in the transfer portal? I think not. And this is a weird, very strange deal. What else would it be, right? I mean, it's Imani Bates.
But what I don't understand is
Memphis.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. If you got him on saying, yeah, I've been there a few times, I've been over there, just ask him whether or not he's been talking to Penny about Imani's future.
Look,
if he's willing to answer that question, whether you've been here, how about the question of whether you talked to Penny or not about that? The fact that it's not in there kind of lends some credence to what Penny is saying, no?
According to Stephen Johnson, one source added they think Imani is returning. So what's Penny going to say? He's going to say, on Wednesday, 2 days before he decided, I said I was going to give him a call. And
this means he's 100% coming back.
Penny had never worried about anything like that. Something changing a day later and he'll say something different. He's never been concerned about that.
No, it's one of those things where it's like, it's almost like, you know, if Imani does wind up coming to Memphis, like, you know, Penny, Penny
will say it came to fruition late.
Stop asking me stupid fucking question.
What happened, Penny? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Don't ask them damn stupid questions.
Stop asking me stupid fucking questions.
If look, he appears,
don't say another word.
Okay.
Say left.
He appears.
Yeah. Look, I watched the. Did you watch the whole interview with Doc? I thought it was great. Like, I think Penny is great. I think Penny is hilarious. Like, I appreciate him. I truly do. I don't know why. I don't know why he's being so opaque about it is my thing.
For Keonta.
Keonta had been committed. He's done. He's wrapped up.
I understand that, but you don't want to give off the impression right after you just told the dude you the starting two that you're going out and get somebody else too. That's a possibility, is it not? Especially against publicly. You got Keonta, his folks calling because now you got all these Imani Bates reports. Well, if you want him, you want me. I thought I was the one. Remember, it wasn't until after Kerwin Walton that Keonta said, okay, they want me, so I'm coming. Another guy that can play the two, you want that immediately out there right after you get Keonta that, yeah, you like him too. A guy who could potentially, I would say you start Keonta, let Imani come off the bench, but could potentially, unseat you in that spot. Is that not a possibility? You don't want it out there looking like you're so thirsty at the two when you just told this guy he's going to be starting there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a very weird deal. It's certainly not the, it's not like, hey, kid, we're all in on you here, you know? It's not exactly a vote of confidence.
Has Memphis announced Keonta?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so.
Well, there you go.
They just announced KO recently.
Right.
Like, yeah. it takes some time.
And you would understand why I'm asking that. It's because right now, then, Keonta would be committed and not signed.
Mm-hmm.
And that Memphis can't publicly announce his addition until he's signed up. And there you go.
What about transfer portal?
If it's just committed, John, then I've literally made the case for you there.
Jason and John, honest question. If a kid enters the transfer portal, in the case of Imani, are you allowed to still acknowledge said kid as if he were on your current roster? Honest question.
How do you mean acknowledge?
In other words, you can't talk about KO until he's signed, mm-hmm. and then you can talk about him. If
he has not picked the destination yet, right?
So in the case of Imani, he can freely talk about Imani.
Oh, he can talk about Imani.
Yeah. As if he were on the roster as in present.
Yes.
Okay.
But the next coach would not be able to talk about Imani until he's
got it.
Which is strange. Like all of it's stupid. All this red tape is ridiculous.
Just trying to figure
the point on Kennedy. Kennedy decommitted from Vandy. At this point, is it not just verbal? It is until Memphis announces it. Because, again, this would be something they're going to announce immediately. And I haven't, again, you show me the press release that they have. Okay, that's a different situation where you've signed the kid up. If it's just a verbal commitment on a kid who's already decommitted from Vandy, could we not see that Penny not want to look so thirsty and have it out there publicly? You know, yeah, I want Imani Bates too. We've been talking about it. A guy that plays the same position as Keonta. Could that help explain some of why Penny would say, no, I haven't talked to those guys about him returning?
Yeah, I mean that.
But then still be interested, obviously.
That's the
that's my best explanation for you. Keontae's not signed; he's committed.
Right. That's yeah.
Well, and again, in the story I read literally today about Keonta and the commitment, his deal was, well, I'm not coming if Memphis is on Kerwin Walton, and they were. And when Memphis got off, when Kerwin Walton picks Texas Tech, that's when Keonta was all in on Memphis. So for him, it's as much about opportunity and starting, it appears, mm-hmm. at the two spots as anything else. If you're Penny, you don't want, right after you got Keonta committed, to sit up there and look like, oh, yeah, I want Imani Bates too. I mean, that's the most realistic explanation I can throw out there.
But why not, can you not be a little bit more transparent than that, though? Can you not at least say, like, listen, you know, it may or may not happen, you know, we'll see what happens. Everybody has to be on the same page, like.
But Imani Bates is not a guy who just is coming in here and folks look at it as, oh, that's just a name, right? Yeah, he's a former mocked lottery guy. And so for a Keonta Kennedy who's coming here, like we talked about, he's got 2 years, but it's got to be looking at it as, here, I got to shine to get to the next level. Any threat whatsoever is a threat you don't need, right? I mean, you'd rather see your position and your path and know that thing's unimpeded by anything.
Mm-hmm. But it's not. Right, I mean, whether Penny wants to publicly acknowledge it or not, if Imani comes back, it's going to be very much impeded, you know. So my whole thing is just like, you know, what's the difference between surprise? I guess you leave him no choice. You wait till he signs and then you spring it on
him. What you mean? You guess how long you've been covering recruiting, and that's when it changes. What you tell a kid is it changes absolutely after you've signed that kid.
Let me ask you this.
From everything we gather. They haven't gotten the paperwork in on it, right. Unless at least Memphis has not announced that it has.
Do you not think Keontae is seeing the reports, though? Like he's
That's my point.
Yeah.
And this would be Penny's way of killing it yesterday with Doc.
Right.
At least for the time being,
right.
Until you get that dude signed.
Well, that would make sense.
Otherwise, we're sitting here wondering, what the hell is going on? Again, it's the most realistic explanation. You don't have Keontae signed yet. The dude decommitted from Vandy. We know this is just a verbal. Until he is, you don't want to look like you're thirsty at that spot. Or like you're, put it this way, you're considering anything else. And even just, the threat of, even if you wanted to tell Keontae, well, look, you know, me and Imani been through it. We want to help him out. We think off the bench he can help us. There's no, you've had a year with that.
Yeah.
You think Keontae's going to trust you 100% when you've already been in it for a year with Imani?
Right.
And you could be looking at the guys, oh, well, if I don't play well, maybe you're looking to start him over me.
Right. No, I mean,
the best thing I got for you, bro.
No,
because we saw Leon, who got Keontae right, is doubling.
Leon!
My man, give him all the credit in the world. He's doubling down on Imani is coming.
My man is all in at the blackjack table.
Y'all ain't gonna pit him and Doc again in
Who's
the reports
Leon?
Against each other. Leon Taylor is the brother who broke the fact that Keontae Kennedy was coming to Memphis, and he is the one who is predicted Imani Bates to Memphis.
Okay,
and he doubled down on it.
He did.
After
Where does Leon do his? I've never seen Leon's work. I'm being honest with you. Where does he report to?
I think he's with Hoop Scene. I think that's where
Hoop Scene.
That sounds right.
That's the outlet he's with. Leon is I give Leon a lot of credit.
That man is an independent
I'm
out
just
here
trying to figure it out.
He's out here independent trying to bust his ass.
He is everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's on the grassroots scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's at every Memphis game, it feels like.
If I want him to follow his material, I go to Hoop Scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say this, like
we'll find you his Twitter.
Cuz I'll speak for me and Jason. Neither one of us is out here at all. Both of us are basically...
I want him to get credit, honestly.
Yeah.
More importantly, because these people, you know, you don't want to work for free. I'd like him to reap the rewards of his outlet, if you will.
Me and Jason are completely out of the game in that regard. Like, you're not going to catch either one of us at any event ever, period, point blank.
You guys are doing editorial.
We're out of the game. And I was just kind of following your lead on that, you know, because it seemed to work for you once you kind of retired. You know, from the game. And I was like, I'm going to do that.
How did this turn into that as opposed to giving Leon credit?
I was trying to give Leon credit. That's not what it's about,
I just want to get you back out on the...
And here's the deal. Leon and Doc's reports were being pitted against one another. Those two, Leon pointed out, have talked overnight. And Leon still doubles down on the fact, even with Doc's report out there from Penny, that he hasn't talked about it.
Right.
Leon's saying Imani's still coming.
Well, we even knew at the time. We talked about it. Like, it just kind of smelled funny, right? Like, all of it. Because, again, I had heard, and I had even said on the show, 90% that Imani Bates was coming back from the same source that told me Larry Brown was coming here, you know, a year and a half ago. So I trust the person that's telling me this, and I know they wouldn't be telling me this.
The question was, who was willing to still report it after Keontae Kennedy?
Oh, for sure.
After they get
him. No question.
Leon was the one who was still on it after Keontae says the kid's still coming.
Yeah.
That's the difference there.
Yeah.
I think most of us thought the two were connected. You get one, you don't need.
Right.
Imani Bates.
Yeah.
Leon, after you get Keontae, says Imani's still coming. That's what set him further out on this whole path than everybody else.
If this comes home, Leon deserves all the credit, no doubt.
You got to give him all the credit.
Absolutely.
Can't do anything but salute the guy because he's essentially out here working for himself.
Yeah.
Hoop
you know,
scene.
Hoping to get hired. He put in his bid with CA, Daily Memphi, and all of them, seems like, over the years trying to get
in. Hadn't
been able to break through in terms of mainstream, but he's out here getting stories, and he got Keontae, and like I said, has now doubled down that Imani's still coming.
And
that's in the face of the Doc Holliday report from, it's not even a report, Penny from the horse's mouth.
Right.
And that was in the interview on the Doc Holliday show, right?
With Penny.
Yeah.
Right, on YouTube.
Yeah, that was the, you know, and that's always like that's a tough, you know, when you put something out there, you know, because it reminds me sort of, you know, the Austin Nichols thing from many, many years ago when I said that there was a 0% chance that he was coming to Memphis. And that was because he was telling me that, right? He ended up going to Memphis. And like, even though I broke the story like every which way.
I had never heard that from you, John.
I've never.
That's who told you.
Lived it down. Oh, yeah. Austin was. I wasn't just saying that because, you know.
No, I knew that, but I didn't. I've never heard you say who you got the information
from.
Yeah,
Austin was telling me he was, you know, he's going on all these visits. He was saying, like, I'm not going to Memphis, man. Like, there's no way I'm going to Memphis. And he ends up going to Memphis. So it's just like.
That's tough.
It's a tough game, man. The information game is a very difficult one to master. And that's why, like, I'm always very careful about. You know, aggregate. Like Brian Windhorst will come on and he'll say, do not aggregate what I am saying. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to like share with you guys like what I'm hearing, but I don't want this to be attributed to me because the speed of information and things take on a life of their own. But yes, if Imani Bates does indeed come back to Memphis, Leon will certainly deserve the credit.
And Elgin wanting to be on the team next season is still going to be stopping through Memphis, huh?
But that's what you're trying to tell me. I mean, you're trying to tell me, dude, got this an open door policy at Memphis?
I'm not. That's what Steven Johnson's telling you. I'm the one telling you. He's telling you he made multiple trips here.
Yeah.
But what's weird is it doesn't tell you in there. Yes, we've discussed Imani's future with us.
Well, do you want Steven to come back? Do you want him to go back to Elgin and ask if they've talked? I do think that's a fair question. Like,
I think we both know what'll happen is you won't get the answer.
Right. Well, it's just
he won't answer you straight on that. That's what'll happen when Steven Johnson and probably already has asked that question.
Right.
And that's what you're gonna get out of Elgin right now.
It's just weird, man. Like, this is
it would make sense if it's all positioning, so you don't tell Keyonte Kennedy you got somebody else at that spot.
Well, I'm just saying the whole piece
an unsigned
about
Keyonte still
the parent of a transfer is like just dropping in on
that
the
I
team.
Come through all you know.
Right.
Well, Doc did address that, say that was to move out. But this seems to indicate that he made multiple trips.
Right.
That it wasn't just, you know, you make one trip to move out. This seems to indicate from Elgin, this report from Steven, that there were multiple trips. You don't need that to move out.
So anyway, the Imani Bates chapter is going to come to a close one way or the other at the end of this week. And we all need it. I mean, we all need it. There is no doubt about it.
Well, Memphis needs to get Keyonte Kennedy signed.
Oh, he signed.
Then you can worry about the Imani Bates stuff.
He's going to sign up. Don't worry.
Again, to me, I would tell you that's more important.
Yeah, but the latest is that Elgin told Steven Johnson that he has been on campus multiple times. Was he enrolling? Is Elgin enrolling? He going for a PhD? I mean, what's happening? But he's been on campus several times since Imani announced his transfer.
Next story.
This is weird. We touched on the open, but Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell have signed contracts for a heavyweight boxing exhibition. It's going to be next month at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. I imagine they'll have a nice little crowd out there, too, to see it. And listen, I guess I was impressed, what was it, a few months ago when we had Darren Williams out there going against Gore, the fighter that Darren Williams was, and I suppose how hard he was going was somewhat impressive. But I feel for these guys, right, for Gore, for all these guys who have gone out there and not looked so good and maybe feeling like, you know, this is the next step for them in their transition out of whatever their sport was, to whatever it's going to be, that this is a nice little payday and a go-between. I hope these guys don't embarrass themselves or get hurt to a point that there is no, you know, that whatever was after this isn't as good because you went in there and you made yourself look like a damn fool. That said, it's funny that it's Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, two guys that in fantasy years ago in their own separate times would have gone high in the first round for both of them. I will not pay to watch this. But what I have come to realize now and was naive to this to start, I've had to come around on it, there is a market for these fights.
Oh,
People will buy them, whether it's the name recognition themselves or the fact that, man, Adrian Peterson, he was a big dude when he played. Let's just go see him, the Incredible Hulk. Let's go see him knock somebody out. So I realize there is some sort of circus-like draw to seeing these guys fight. But for me, there's not, and I'll be just as fine with John Martin telling me about what happened.
Well, I'm not buying it either. I mean, there's no way I'm buying it. And there is a car wreck sort of analogy, right? Like, you just can't look away. But neither one of these guys is like, I mean, Adrian Peterson was on the NFL roster.
He's 37.
Le'Veon Bell fumbled the bag, but he's not. It's not like, you know. I mean, he did end up getting a contract with the New York Jets, didn't he?
He played in 8 games last season, 5 with the Ravens and 3 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's 30 years old.
Yeah,
Adrian Peterson's 37. I get it more for Adrian Peterson. But
am I having a fever dream, or did he not end up with the Jets, Le'Veon Bell?
Is that like the year before last?
Yeah, I think
before last season.
Well, because he was always like trying to get that contract from the Steelers, right? And they would not do it. And
Jets paid him some money,
so
and
they
it didn't go out
him.
Well. Yeah.
But it's not like the situation where either one of these guys is hurting.
That was the last time somebody really believed in him.
I know.
Doesn't
Adrian Peterson have like a ton of kids? You know, that could be a reason that you're, you know, because kids are expensive.
Right.
They just are.
Doesn't he John, to that point, I think he is a pretty relentless keeping you in the lines as far as parenting, isn't he?
Well, he got it.
It was the switch.
He's got a trouble. He's experienced boxing before.
Switch.
Hit
him with switch.
You know, that's the thing is like, I don't know. I don't want to get canceled.
So you guys will be pulling for Le'Veon Bell. That's pretty obvious.
No, I don't.
No, not at all.
No, that's what's clear. Dude, you'll be pulling for 30-year-old Le'Veon Bell. Y'all can't stand Adrian Peterson.
No, I like the disciplinarian.
He got canceled, you know, for a very, like, in the South, a very traditional.
The switch.
Yeah.
Hit the kid with, you know, switches. Right?
I'm very familiar.
Yeah. And he got canceled at a time, but it was like, that was not the peak of cancel culture when he got canceled.
No, it was pretty early on.
You know, he was one of the pioneers.
But the league, and everybody got over, and he got his chance again to come back to the league.
Yes.
Wasn't like he did a bit of time.
The details I'm fuzzy on, I don't remember. I mean, I remember, like, seeing the pictures and, like, the...
Well, how much of that was the mom of the kid? I can't remember all the details, too, but trying to, you know, put him in a situation again.
Yes.
He got through it. Now you won't have a switch out there against Le'Veon Bell. It's going to have to
no be, switches, Jason.
You're going to have to be the grown man out there. That's what y'all want to hear.
Now this did lead to more conversation this morning on the Jeff Calkins show about Jason and John specifically in the shows and boxing on our station. It was interesting.
It was you know, look, everybody on this show and on the station is going to have a different opinion. I think
this is where we're going with
Jeff. Jeff decided he was going to just put together a 92.9 boxing tournament.
Yeah, it was cage match.
I think because early on he liked his chances.
You think Jeff liked his chances?
He was so excited.
Interesting.
I think he liked his chances against Jeffrey until he started listening to some of the speculation.
So I want to say, like, once upon a time.
It was sort of like listening to Pat Riley saying, I can beat all y'all and do it in push-ups.
Right.
Like, I think Jeff Jason at one time said, he looked at Jeffrey and said, you know, I could advance out of this. Let's talk about this.
Once upon a time, I want to say, like, you and I were approached by, like, a organization in Memphis about, like, getting in the ring together for, like, some charity. It's like, come on, man. Like, that, we're not going to sit here and be like your,
no.
You know what I mean?
Harrington's the one that does that, John.
You're roosters, you know. You want us to fight like roosters, and, you know, it's just not going to happen. I mean, we're not going to be, now you can pay me. There could be like a purse, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What would you get in the ring for? How much would it cost?
That looks so silly. Who was it? Who was the charity? It obviously wasn't a good enough cause for you.
No, absolutely
I don't
not.
Remember it.
Yeah. I don't
remember. They were pitting us?
Yes. They wanted us to
buy. Oh, man, they should have asked me now.
Yeah.
You know, all these years later after all this tension's been built.
That's right. At the time, it was not a good.
Right. We're more combative now.
There's no question about it. What would it cost to get you in the ring, though? Like, honestly, against any regular person.
How much? Just against the right cause, against Le'Veon Bell or Adrian Peterson, dollars.
What's your number?
Dollars.
What's your number, bro? 10K?
Am I fighting? Again, it depends. I'll do free against you,
Mike Cook, real professional athlete.
It's going to require some dollars. There's a sliding scale there.
Mike Cook? Yeah.
He's real.
Yeah. How much? How much, like a 6-month training with Shabazz?
Dude, stop.
What?
I'm going to be 46 this year. Stop trying to put me in the ring or in the professional sports tryout, whatever it is. It's you that should be doing these things.
15K.
Jay Williams scarred this man. Now he doesn't want to compete anymore.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jason, you're right. He put him in a gym and just, you know.
We want you to compete for us.
You're the young guy,
you're
John.
You're 30. You're the young guy around here.
Yeah.
Most athletic dude in the room at your age.
You, who would be the favorite at 92.9 in the boxing tournament?
Oh, I think Jeffrey's reasoning was right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Giannotto looks like he can take a punch and keep coming at you. Now, I know we tried to say, he's tired because he got two kids now. Mm-mm.
What would you put those odds at for Giannotto?
He would be trying to prove. I see him stretching before the damn fight. You know what I'm saying? I see him taking it very seriously.
Is he plus or minus?
He's the favorite. He's minus.
Okay, so he's going to be what? Minus what?
I don't know. Minus 110 or something.
Okay, so barely a favorite.
Do you just want to be the favorite so bad?
No,
dude?
I'm just genuinely asking. Like, what are the
minus
odds?
Minus 110. Are you accepting them?
It's just your opinion. I'll accept those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is a dark horse?
Because of your age, you should be.
What's the odds?
Plus 100.
Oh, sure.
You like that? You're taking yourself.
What about Bennett? Because Bennett got a lot of love today. Because somebody said when the electricity in February went out and he was guarding his family and their food, that Bennett should have been a popular choice to win this thing.
Now, you and I saw Bennett on the slip and slide the other day.
How was he? Did he look athletic, Jason?
He did not look like somebody that's ready to have like a knockdown, drag out boxing
tournament. You're shaking your head that he did not look athletic. He got so much love, and I love Bennett. Bennett is the super lovable cat here at the radio station. But the amount of athletic love that Bennett got this morning was a little disingenuous. Let's be honest. And I love.
He's
and
far
I,
removed
and
from
I
his rugby
love
days.
Bennett. Bennett would run through a brick wall for
you know,
anybody.
Gary said Bennett has a beard, and so that therefore that makes him.
I heard that.
A superior athlete.
Get out of here.
There are
with
lots
that.
Of athletes that don't no. have beards.
Bennett has a beard.
Ja doesn't have a beard.
He has a beard.
Beer. Yeah,
not a beard.
Right.
He has a beard, and he has a gun next to him on the nightstand. All right?
I did tell Bennett.
And those are right. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on something to pop off.
Right.
So does he need to pick up this gun or not?
Right. Bennett
you
is
understand
past
that?
The days
this
of
so
using
good.
His hands, right?
This is so
like,
good.
Using no hands.
Right. Bennett, yeah.
He's trained to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sniper.
Now, let me ask you this.
Let something come in that front door.
Let me ask
yeah.
you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who's look, we'll move on. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Who of Ed Knight's guys getting knocked out the fastest?
I'll be honest with you. It'll probably be. I'm not gonna say somebody else before I say myself.
It's gonna be you,
dude. I don't want to fight. I have no fight left in me at 40. I'm 46 years old, and here's the other point. I have nothing to prove, and so yeah. So
you're just gonna let yourself get knocked out.
I mean, dude, I don't want to catch a shot from Giannotto because I think dude still got something. He still has something to prove. He wants to show y'all his glory days.
You don't think
I'm retired?
You don't think you could beat Connor? You don't think you could beat Connor boxing, Matt?
Again, this is not going to be
not about Connor.
Let's pit Jason against somebody it's funny.
You're just not going to give me any material here today.
I told you I'm the first one going out. There's your material.
Okay.
I gave you myself. I'm not going to put somebody down beneath me.
You're taking a dive.
It's called taking one for the team here.
Team guy.
And I'm doing it. I'm the guy that would go out.
Well, you're not making the Olympic
boxing. Because I literally have no motivation if there's not some big pile of money up there.
Well, that's their motivation. That's Le'Veon and Adrian Peterson's motivation here.
Now, what was that movie out of Korea that we watched with all that piggy bank that was up in the sky? They were cutting
Squid
each other's throats. Now, you put some money out there.
Right.
Yep.
You know, right. Anyway, it might be a little different here. Might find some competitive, little competitive bug in.
Yeah, but these guys aren't even training though. It's like next month.
I would go the way it usually goes. You'd roll young here. The younger guys should have the best shot.
But I agree.
And Giannotto's surprisingly young too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is surprisingly. You know, Jason, to your point, Giannotto's the guy in really any sport. He shows up at the gym and you go, boy, he can't really play. Mm-hmm. You know, like at a basketball. Like you're at the gym and you're like. Oh, the lumbery guy, really? He's like the Roddy of the draft. Like, you don't see it coming, and then he is freaking, he's a killer.
Yeah, I played
basketball. If he hits you with one of them big foreman shots, you're through.
Oh, he's got thickness, he's big, he's skilled.
Trying
to
grab you and put you in one of them wrestling moves,
yeah,
I just feel like.
He's
if he hits
a sniper.
You, it's over.
Yes, watch him.
I've hooped with Giannotto one time, and I will.
Slick good, isn't he?
I will vouch for that. He is
more athletic than you think.
Yeah, he's super athletic for size.
Yeah, because I've you're scouting him and you're sort of, you know, sizing him up and you're like, this guy's like got cylinder blocks for, you know,
he would sink right to the bottom of the sea.
It's really something to behold. No, I don't, that was many, many years
ago.
He
can low post on you though, too, like sort of like Barkley with that low center of gravity.
This was pre-kid.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that can change.
He's a little softer, but I'm telling you, still something. There's a lot of heart still in
there. Yeah. A lot of heart.
But anyway, yeah, it was fun.
I think you're not giving. I'm actually going to give you some love here this afternoon, John. I put you right there as far as a finalist for this.
I appreciate
nobody
that.
Has spoken up on the station on your behalf.
I appreciate you saying
you're
that.
You're the guy, because I've heard some stories. I'm not going to get specific here, but you're the guy when you're pissed, man. Like,
rage.
A rage. It's sort of like, if people who are following have ever seen Dude Perfect, there's a character called the Rage Monster on Dude Perfect.
Yes.
And it becomes of the man. Like, it seeps into his...
it becomes
his,
of the man.
It becomes him. It seeps into his being, and no time or space or words could stop the man.
Yes.
That is John Martin.
That's
definitely have the most rage of anyone.
It is, and it's an unstoppable force. I'm not going to lie.
It, you know, my rage does drive me, right? It drives me every single day.
So I wouldn't screw with that.
No, you know? Look, I would tell you there's two ways. I don't have a great wingspan. That's a problem.
The reach.
It's great. That's a problem. I'm going to have to get up in there, right? My arms are just my very average wingspan. And then I'm very over-aggressive. So I'm gonna be going
get shot in the back of the head.
I'm gonna be going for the knockout, right? And I'm gonna get caught.
You'd be like Nolan Ryan on that third baseman, you know, when he's giving him the nunchucks in the headlock.
But it's gonna be a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like it's gonna be a fight. no matter what. I might win, John. I might lose, but yeah.
It's a fun thought, though.
When the rage monster,
do not mess with the rage monster.
When it becomes of the man.
It becomes him.
You know what I'm saying? It's like all your struggle in life just comes to the top.
There it is.
And you remember everybody that ever disrespected you and every slight you ever had.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like John Moran on Twitter.
It's like John on Twitter, bro. Like nonstop. Scary hours. No doubt about it.
I hope Adrian and Le'Veon keep it safe.
I'm sure they will.
Get a nice little payday.
Yeah, like Darren Williams was just like pushing Frank Gore by the end.
Yeah.
He was.
He wasn't really throwing many blows because they're not professional boxers, you know? So it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are. Is this on Triller? Is that the app?
I got crypto.com, Arena. I don't have where it will be, John. But you said you're not watching it anyway.
I'll find it on TikTok or something, I'm sure. Somebody will be streaming that thing. There's always somebody streaming it.
You know,
you can find it. All right, Jeff Calkins is going to join us. He's the ringleader of all this. He put the Rumble on the River 2022 together. So we'll talk to him about it, get his thoughts on Imani Bates and that situation and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Wing Guru got the best wings in Memphis. I mean, we could end it there. And, like, it's just true. It's fact. It's short, sweet, to the point. But we'll go on. Because they're going on. They're expanding. They're growing every single day at the Wing Guru. They got the best flavors. Those exotic flavors. My go-to. Because people have asked, what is it? It's garlic sriracha. Just go stop by. They got locations all around Memphis. You'll see my name. You'll see Jason's name. You'll see a lot of names that you know and that you recognize. We're all vouching for the Ring Guru because they are the best.
Opening in Dallas this week. Congratulations to Billy Richmond blowing up. It continues to Nashville 1 week, Dallas this week. And that's the thing. Memphis can't contain it when the chicken is this good. So if you're here, you're around here, need to get to one of those locations, including the original over 5699 Mount Moriah. But like we said, Billy's all over now in Bartlett and Collierville. The Summer Avenue Food Hub. Yes, Midtowners, Downtowners, they got you as well. Just go to summerfoodhub.com or you can have it delivered by DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. So the city's now saturated. It's Operation Takeover on the country now for Wing Guru. That's how good it is. If you haven't tried it, what are you waiting for? John's been telling you the flavors now for what, 5-6 years? I've been telling you the flavors. Try the Nashville Hot. It's good. Garlic Sriracha, John's right. It's good, too. Triple J as well. Try them all. When you see Billy Richmond, you tell him that Jason and John sent you.
Jeff Coggins is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Amani Bates situation and get his thoughts on that, what he would do, how he would handle that. Some other NBA news. We talked about John Wall and his buyout going directly to the Clippers as soon as he's allowed to do so, mm-hmm. right? There's some moratorium and all that. So he'll be headed to the Los Angeles Clippers. Then Kyrie Irving opted in to the Brooklyn Nets, which I think we all expected. And then Russell Westbrook also shockingly decided to pick up his $47.1 million option to remain with the L.A. Lakers. It's a lot of big paydays for guys who are certainly unproven at this stage. I mean, past their prime, probably. Kyrie Irving still has moments and some glimpses. But Russell Westbrook had the worst year of his career last year. And John Wall, it's just hard to know what you're getting with him. Do you have any hope for Russell Westbrook ever being a big piece of a championship team?
No, and I feel, you know, for my man Darvin Ham, who I've always thought highly of in terms of people saying he's the next one, he gets the job with the Lakers, I feel like this is a can't-win situation.
Right.
Like, you remember one of his things in his press conference was, well, we want to get Russell defending. We want to get Russell Westbrook, you know, being a great defender on that end. And you better say that. You better get some of those superstars defending because, like we said, the personnel-wise, you're not set up with your roster to be able to do so. Problem is, how interested Russ going to be, right, and all of a sudden becoming some great defender at this point in his career at his age? And you're not going to change those guys. You're not really going to change LeBron or Anthony Davis or Russell from what their DNA is. And so that's the point. I feel like he is set up to lose, and hopefully whatever this next half, whatever the Lakers look like after this, through this transition, because it's clear they're going to have to run it back. They had no choice. But I hope that Darvin gets a chance with that, because this is destined to – Frank Vogel was the scapegoat. He, and nobody feels sorry for him. He got a ring out of it. But he was not to blame for last year. That was a roster construction problem. And frankly, LeBron, you giving him too much power. LeBron picking Westbrook, wrong. You've put yourself in that boat, and so they're going to have to get out of it. And I have no confidence that they're going to be able to do it with these three guys together.
Yeah, I mean,
they have to blow it up. This is a running back situation that they could do nothing but do that.
Right, and it's one of those.
Nobody
deals.
Wants these contracts.
That's the problem. It's like once upon a time you would be able to find takers, but these price tags are such. Now look, $47 million expiring contract is going to be attractive to somebody, right? I mean but that's more of a trade deadline thing, it feels like, than a right now thing.
You would just be opening up. I mean, who's taking that on? Where's it going to get you?
Well, I don't know which.
At some point, you have to fill that back up. And what are you getting if you take a Russell Westbrook for a year? You're taking a rental that you're going to pay $40 something million for. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, he would open it up, like he would come off the books, right? $47 million.
Yeah, for somebody that's ready to start over, right? Or I mean, who's taking him on now?
Or somebody that would want to make a cap.
Nets.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They're close. Right. They didn't want to do a deal where you switch that up, you take Westbrook. Nobody believes that at this age, this point in his career, he's a piece of a championship team.
Yeah. No, it's definitely
So why take it on for any amount of time?
It's the Lakers. It's a very bad situation, you know? And when they acquired Russell Westbrook, they thought it would go a certain way, and and it has not. It has gone the opposite. So, yeah, that's why nobody wanted that damn job. You know, that's why it goes to a guy like Darvin Ham. The Lakers would never – a job like that would never traditionally go to an unproven first-time head coach, right? That would never happen. But it's so unattractive right now because you just know you're having to deal with this, headache after headache after headache. And with a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny that, like, yeah, you almost like, if you're Darvin Ham, you have to take it, but you take it knowing this may not go super well.
Should have got DeRozan. They wanted to get a big three.
Yep.
They got the wrong guy. Not telling you that DeRozan, once you pay him, that what you've got around those guys, because in the end, that was the key to it. The fact that those all three of them couldn't stay healthy, and then you had nothing in between them. You had no roster in between them. That part hasn't changed now with what you got to do in terms of the running back. So, no, I have no confidence whatsoever, and it's suddenly all of a sudden looking different with Westbrook here on this final year of the deal. Now, what he's going to look like afterwards and what he's willing to play for,
right,
and whether or not he can help and fall into a role with some other team, I'm still mildly interested to see what happens after this season. But, dude, Lakers going to be probably just as much of a train wreck. I imagine they're right there on the play-in line or at the end of a the 7 or the 8 seed.
Absolutely.
And that they need great health. They're going to need good health to do that.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Calkins will join us at 1:25. Talk to him about Imani Bates. The University of Memphis, get his thoughts on that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.